We have a good crowd tonight, and we'll continue on our study tonight that we talked about at the start of this morning when we started on the lesson entitled, By Your Words. We get this, By Your Words. So as we look at the lesson this morning, we cited what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 34. And so as we continue on our lesson tonight, we will look at the second part of this lesson, which deals with words that will condemn us. This morning we looked at words that justify. So we saw that the words that justify come from a pure heart, edify the hearer, impart grace to the hearer. They're words fitly spoken. They give an intelligent answer and express thanksgiving and gratitude. Now going back to our text this morning, Jesus said, beginning at verse 34 of Matthew chapter 12, He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. For by thy word shalt thou be justified, and by thy word shalt thou be condemned. So Jesus will judge us by what we say and how we conduct our lives, the words that we speak. Our first point this evening, as we deal with words that will condemn or speech that condemns, first point is that using God's name in vain. And most of these we don't have a whole lot of problems with, but we can have, and so we want to go through all of these as we continue on this lesson tonight. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, we see when Jesus uttered the commandments, the Ten Commandments by Moses, he says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. This, as we know, is a part of the old law, but the principle still applies. As we think about what Jesus taught his disciples when he taught them how to pray. And his disciples asked him how to pray. And over in Matthew chapter 6, we see where Jesus said, And after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that word hallowed means to make holy, ceremonially, or purify, or consecrate, and mentally to venerate, to hallow, be holy, sanctify. So when we speak of God reproachfully or use His name reproachfully, we use His name in vain. We must hold highly God's name and the name of His Son, Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, Paul said, There wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we need to confess the Lordship of Christ. But how do many people use Jesus' name? They use it as a swear word, don't they? So Jesus Christ is Lord, not a swear word, is He? And some only refer to Jesus when they use swear words, unfortunately. Next, murmuring and complaining. Now this is described as an evil. And in Philippians chapter 2, Paul said to the Philippians in verse 14, he said, Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So Pat did a good lesson on murmuring. So murmuring is an attitude or an expression of discontent, displeasure with someone or somebody or something. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when he wrote to the Corinthians, he reminded them that they were not to murmur. And he pointed out the example of the Israelites that fell in the wilderness when he cited what he did over in Matthew, or 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, when he said, neither murmur ye, and some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So that's the command, not to murmur, not to speak down regarding various individuals or situations, but to show lack of contentment and gratitude is that sign of murmuring. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, he said, let your conversation or your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise we have of God. So on what basis do we have to murmur when we have this promise that God will never leave us or forsake us? Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So Paul went to all sorts of trials and tribulations as he preached the gospel, after he obeyed the gospel. As we talked about, he was afflicted, and he called it a light affliction, but as compared to what we go through today, it wasn't light. But do we ever see Paul murmuring over things like that? Showing discontent of what he had to endure to do the work of the apostleship that he was commissioned by God to do? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 68, Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in this world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So we're to be thankful. We talked this morning how we're to be thankful and show gratitude for the things that we have. So what reason, on what basis do we have to murmur and complain? It's just not something that a Christian should do. If we do that, we'll be contented. See, we need to speak and think words that are acceptable to God. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Then profanity will condemn. These are expressions and words used that does not fit those raised with Christ. Bad language, filthy language, profane language. Paul said to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 8, but now you also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, he said, but fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So when Christians talk like the world, then they're going to be condemned. And this profanity, as we just noted in Ephesians chapter 5, includes foolish talking or speech that does not edify, speech that is valueless, coarse jesting, inappropriate humor, dirty jokes, jokes that make light of sin, and debased godliness. Those are things that we need to avoid. Then verbosity. You ever know someone just talks all the time? Just constantly talking, verbose, and you ask them about something, they give you an answer 50 miles long. Just too much talking. See, we need to make every word count. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So in the religious realm, men use verbosity. They use words that are valueless, words that have no scripture, thoughts that are not according to God's word, useless words, useless expressions. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, he said, in the multitude of words, there one is not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Also in chapter 13, verse 13, he said, he that keepeth his mouth, gapeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So the best thing that we can do to prevent this is use the cage God made for our tongue as your teeth and keep your mouth shut. Use words that are of value. Use words that are fitly spoken, as we spoke about this morning. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3, he said, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." We need to practice restraint in the number of words that we use. And that's more important to weigh words than to count them. That is, words, you know, weigh or judge the value of words that we use before we use many words. Most of us have heard of Calvin Coolidge. You ever heard of him? He was the 30th president. Calvin Coolidge said, "I've never been hurt by anything I didn't say." He was known as Silent Cal. That was his nickname, because he was a man of not many words. And so the best way to keep people from jumping down your throat is to keep your mouth closed. And a lack of words is important. Avoid verbosity or verbosity. Then hasty speech. You know, this is speech where communication lacks forethought, and it's often wicked. James said, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." A lot of people have that backwards. Many are swift to speak, slow to hear, and quick to wrath. So they don't have that desire. We need to have the desire that we be understood and understand those that we're talking to, then be understood. So we need to be good listeners to those that are speaking to us, so we understand and give an answer that's, as we mentioned this morning, fitly spoken. That's a proper answer. That's an educated answer by God's Word. So the desire to understand and then be understood should be our goal. You know, many don't have anything to say. They have to say something. You ever known somebody like that? They really don't have anything of value to say. They just have to say something. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 27, 17, verse 27, he said, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, that is, uses few words, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Just talking too much often gets us in trouble. You ever been in a situation where you just wish that you would have shut up and hadn't gone on with the conversation? And we've all been in that situation. And Solomon said in Proverbs 29, verse 20, "Seest thou a man that is tasting his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." Then flattery. Flattery is excess or it's successful or successive or insincere praise, or someone's trying to suck you into a situation or get an advantage over you in some way or get an advantage from you. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, that he and the apostles, they didn't use flattering words. He says, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor our cloak of covetousness. God is our witnesses." They spoke the truth. They spoke the truth as it needed to be spoken. You know, false teachers use flattery. Peter said in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error." So notice that they speak great swelling words of vanity, words of flattery. Jude talked about false teachers. He says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having immense persons in admiration because of advantage." So they're trying to get and impress someone so they can reap the benefits of the advantage that they might receive. You know, also flirting can qualify. The people who are flirting, like a woman who's trying to seduce a man, she'll use flattery sometimes. And so we have a case of this, and we have this discussed by Solomon in Proverbs chapter 7. We see where he warns the young man of seductors who use flattering words. Notice beginning at verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 7, it says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among them the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner," that is, the corner of the seductress, "and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and of a subtle heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore come, I will come forth to meet me diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with covers of tapestry, and carved works, and fine linen of this Egypt. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at a day appointed." With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. She's flattering. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike to his liver, and as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. He says, "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. And her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." So he talks about prostitution, flattery. They use flattery. These shallow comments are often uttered with flirting. That's wrong. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, he said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue shall speak proud things. Who has said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" See, that's the attitude they have. They have attitudes that say they can just say whatever they want and won't be held accountable for it. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, said that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Paul in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, talks about the speech of false teachers. They use flattery. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, by good works and fair speech deceive the hearts of the sinful." So we can be deceived if we let someone flatter us. Then rash swearing. I did a lesson on this in 2017. If you don't have the time or desire to do so, you can go and look at the PowerPoint entitled "Swear Not at All" on August 13, 2017. So I've talked about this at length. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that, you know, this type of rash swearing, or, you know, making a vow with no intention to keep it, or forswearing, as Jesus termed it, is condemned. And in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 33, Jesus said, "Again, have you heard that hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear, swear falsely thyself. but shall perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So we're to be honest in our dealings. If we're not going to do something we promised to do, then that's wrong. We need to do what we promised to do. Our words need to be true. We need to be trustful and trustworthy in our words and what we say. James said in James chapter 5, verse 12, he said, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So to forswear oneself is to swear falsely or to undo one swear or their oath according to vine. So we need to be true to our word. Don't make a promise with no intention of fulfilling it. Remember, your word is the only thing you can give and still keep. It's the only thing you can give and still keep. Then euphemisms. You ever heard of euphemisms? Anybody know what those are? Most of us do. Some probably don't. But a euphemism is an inoffensive expression substituted for one that's offensive. I'll give you an example. A sanitation engineer versus a garbage man. You'd rather be called a sanitation engineer rather than the garbage man, wouldn't you? But some words should not be said by Christians. Any derogatory words. Here's some examples. Some that we hear people often say, not real, and I've heard Christians use some of these words, not realizing what they're saying. So here's a list. I'm not going to repeat them. I'm not going to say them. But these are all euphemisms you hear people say. Look it up in the dictionary. See, such words have no communicative value. We need to use words, and the use of these words, using these words loosely is not what Christians should do. You know, men use these words, not knowing the meaning of them. We must mean what we say and speak purposely. Remember James said in James chapter 5, verse 12, but above all, brethren, swear not of all, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be yea, and lest ye fall into condemnation. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Then lies. No lies. You know, God despises liars, doesn't he? You hear people talk about big lies, little lies, black lies, white lies, gray lies, all sorts of expressions used to grade or to talk about lies or to evaluate lies and put them on a level, but all liars shall be condemned. God despises liars, period. Not just black lies, white lies, big lies, little lies. We don't see that type of distinguishing characteristic used to describe lies in the scriptures, do we? In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12, Solomon said, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So we talked about abomination, that word. It's something that's highly offensive to God. And so, we need to be careful that we always speak truthfully. You know, lying is a deed of the old man. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, Paul said, wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor or his fellow man, for we are members one of another. So we're to speak truth, the truth, period. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, Paul said, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. See, all liars will suffer eternal punishment. John said so in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, not just little liars or big liars, but all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, lying wouldn't be included in false teaching, wouldn't it be? When religious teachers pervert the truth, that's a lie. And Paul said and noted in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and forbidding to marry and companion to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving." He went on to talk about that. But we're to refuse those things. He said, "But refuse for vain and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness." Put away lying from us. We're to do that. Then gossip. Gossip. This is probably one of the most common sins of the mouth. Gossip. Whisperings. Speaking when we should not speak. Talking about different individuals behind their backs. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 through 30, he said, "Even as they do not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers." Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, whisperers and backbiters, you know, fall into that category of gossip. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Paul said we're not to be involved in those things. He condemned those things. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, he said, "For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, that I shall be found unto you such as you would not." He said, let there be debased, envies, wrath, strife, sins of the mouth here, strife, backbitings, whisperings, evil, or tumults, or swellings, or tumults, or haughtiness, and tumults. But look at the word whispering. Whisperings. These are often rendered gossip, isn't it? It's a secret calumniator. A calumniator. You know what a calumniator is? A calumniator. To calumniate means to make false and malicious statements about one. Slander is what it is. And oftentimes people are talking bad about someone. They're gossiping. It's out of malicious false statements, charges out, or imputations about an individual or someone to injure the reputation of by using calumny or gossip. Proverbs, or Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, that a froward or a perverse man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth the best of friends. So gossip can destroy relationships. So if it's worth saying, why whisper it? You ever thought about that? Hear people whispering about people, whisperings. Gossip. If it's worth saying, then tell the individual that what you're telling to someone else. See, God hates gossip, doesn't he? In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13, Psalms that a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter, so we don't have to tell everything we know. A lot of things that are private matters should not be discussed by various individuals. And when someone tells you something in confidence, then you need to keep it in confidence. If you go and tell someone else, then you're gossiping. Then in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, Solomon said, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly." In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, he said, "He that goeth about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with the lips." So, you've probably been, maybe you told someone something and they gossiped about it. You trusted them. You told them in trust and they went and told something that shouldn't have been told to other people, and you lose confidence in them. So we can lose friendships. Relationships can be destroyed through gossip, and of more importance, it's a sin, because Jesus condemns, or God's Word condemns it. And in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, Solomon said, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief." When someone gossips, they can't wait to tell it what they heard to someone else. Those are those with sweet or feet that are swift and running to mischief. They're the ones who devise wicked imaginations. They are a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brothers, so they sow discord as well. When gossip is practiced by some. So quickly, we've looked at 10 sins of the mouth, if you will. These are things that will condemn us. Using God's name in vain, murmuring, complaining, profanity, verbosity, hasty speech, flattery, rash swearing, euphemisms, lies, and gossip. And as we close tonight, I cited Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. I'll cite it again. He said, "There, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So what we say, we need to strive always to speak words of truth and soberness, to speak words that edify, not to speak words that can condemn us and judge us eternally to be lost in God's, from God's fold. Then in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 through 20, we see where Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Jesus talked about that. He made that plain when his disciples were accused of eating with unwashed hands, and the scribes and Pharisees, their hearts were not right in the sight of God. As we think about that section of Scripture, Jesus rebuked them severely. And in Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 18, we see where he talked about this and how he talked about things that defile God's people. So we need to realize and remember what he said in verse 7, where he said, "Ye hypocrites, well, I just prophesied you, saying, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, for their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." So when we worship God, when we teach those things which are contrary to God's Word, then that voids our worship. And when we participate in actions that are condemned in Scripture, then our words will be judged on the last great day. And so we need to always keep in mind the admonitions found in Scripture for how we use our tongue and how we speak to others. That's the lesson. If you're in any way subject to the Lord's invitation, we urge that you think on the things that we've talked about. The sinners must hear the gospel of Christ, believe, repent, confess their sins, and be baptized, or confess their faith in Christ, and be baptized in water, and then erring children of God, we must repent and pray. So when we use our mouth inappropriately or contrary to God's Word, we need to pray about that, so that we will be ones who are judged faithful and receive that crown of life on the last great day. there's anyone here tonight who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, urges you to do so, together we stand and sing. Shall we stand while we sing?